about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, Eleanor. I'm Michael. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. Oh, one question. Where am I? Who are you and what's going on?
Right, so.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Funny story. The way I got into improv was, the story about me getting into improv was that I was walking down the street and a race car pulls up and the guy says, "Hey, you're funny. You're the funniest guy I've ever seen. Or my name is not Dale Earnhardt." And that was an improv. The real way was that I found a flyer.
I don't even know what you just said.
And now, you got some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
Our feature presentation.
Right? Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 26th of September.
What's happening, Allie? Should we be calling an ambulance or
fine.
A okay. Doctor? What's going on?
When a girl becomes a woman,
mm-hmm.
I just got really bad cramps, you guys.
Her body starts to change.
Yeah.
Before you came in, Kevin, Allie was in her mind trying to figure out if it's possible she was about to give birth to a baby.
It felt real bad.
And then she was doing some math and she decided that it was unlikely.
Well, here's what I'd say. I mean, for the rest of us, mm-hmm.
that would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
I mean, seriously.
What if Allie would have been one of those women who gives birth and didn't know she was pregnant?
Oh.
What if she
made
the international news for being that lady this month?
That would be the best.
That would be the best.
Don't cry.
Is it possible?
Mama's here. It is not okay. possible. Mm-hmm. However, if at any point during the show I do start doing...
right.
Okay. Just turn my mic off.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Just in some
That's
pain.
All? Just turn your mic off.
Okay. And get ready to catch.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, don't forget to breathe. That's the thing that the ladies forget when they're giving
that's
birth.
That's what I hear.
Don't forget to breathe. It is as Kevin mentioned, it's an all-new Kevin Bean Show for a Monday. A lot of stuff to get to today. But I wanted to start with this because I am still fascinated in the 21st century that astrology is still a thing.
Yeah.
Astrology. There mm-hmm. are still people who very much believe that their star sign has some impact on their personalities, on the way their life unfolds, on how they interact with other people, on what types of people they can marry. I mean, I know it's been around for thousands of years, but why now is it still a thing? Like, how are there new people that are growing up and going, well, it sure means a lot that I'm a Sagittarius, and here's why. Can anyone explain this to me?
I don't know, but I'm afraid it's bigger than we even think.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's huge.
Well, it's in the news this past week because NASA, on their Tumblr page, and by the way, NASA is very clear to point out that they study astronomy, not astrology, because astrology isn't real. And what they did is they put up an article that talked about a couple of things, one of which is that since the astrological signs were first determined by the ancient, whoever they were, the Greeks, the Romans, I don't know, whoever came up with it originally, that the positions of the stars have moved over the course of 3,000 years, because of course they have, because we're all tumbling through space. So we're not all in the exact same spot that we were back then. So they were saying, if the astrology started today, these are where the signs would be. Over here, where you used to be an Aries, now you're going to be a Gemini. You see what I'm saying? That's the...
Yeah.
Sure.
That was the... And people just freaked the F out over it. Because nobody wants their sign changed. Because they all believe in their signs. And people were tweeting things like, I'm literally throwing a fit about the new zodiac change, someone said. Someone else. So apparently NASA decided to change everyone's zodiac signs right after I got my Aries tattoo.
Well, you're dumb.
You are. They also mentioned in the paper that that NASA published that there was a 13th zodiac sign called the Ophiuchus, which probably got dumped just because it's too difficult to pronounce, I would imagine.
Sure.
Right? And they said that back in the ancient Babylonian days or whatever, there were 13 constellations that they were aware of, but they chose only 12 because their calendar only had 12 months. So this whole thing was janky from the start. This whole thing was made up. There was nothing real or scientific about it from the very beginning.
You know that 13th one? It's a little hard to say. Let's leave it off.
It's hard to say, and we only have 12 months, so let's not do that. So then people were like, NASA, you can't do this to me. You can't give us a new sign. Like, now I know people who are in this sign that I don't know anything about. I mean, it just went on and on and on, and it was just so hilarious to me. I mean, I think there used to be a thing called newspapers. Do they still have those?
No.
It's the news like you read online, but it comes actually printed on paper, and you pick it up, and you open it and read it.
What a waste. That's ridiculous.
Wouldn't your hands get dirty?
Right.
I think in most major newspapers, they still do run astrological forecasts for all the signs, and I think it's still a popular thing that people look at.
Yeah.
Maybe people have apps and they get one right to their phone in the morning.
Do
like
they?
Those people would
maybe
have, like,
someone does.
How weird is that?
Wow.
Right?
What would that person have said today?
You're having a baby. Congrats. So you're saying now that I'm a Taurus. I'm not a Gemini anymore.
I don't know specifically.
I just
which...
looked it up. This is
okay.
Upsetting.
That's what it's
I don't love
you're
it.
You're upset about that.
I don't love it.
But here's the point is that you're not because you weren't, okay? Your astrological sign didn't change because you didn't have an astrological sign that meant a damn thing.
But I did.
But you didn't, though.
A little bit.
But you know for a fact that just because you were born during that 30 days or whatever doesn't mean you have anything in common with other people who were born in that 30 days too. That's all just made up. People look for those associations because they want them to be true.
Who hurt you?
And what sign were they?
It's science.
Was it a Scorpio, Bean? Was it a Scorpio that hurt you? Tell
me. These people who say, oh, Scorpios can never marry each other because it's combustible and they'll fight all the time. I mean, that's absurd, right?
It's science.
How did you know that Scorpios shouldn't marry each other because it's combustible? Because that's true.
Is that a thing? Is
yes.
that a real thing?
Very specific, Bean.
Yes, very specific.
Well, I don't know.
Hmm.
I'm just saying. Bean. Allie, you're kidding, though, about the astrology, right?
Yeah.
Bean, she also believes in psychics, so.
I believe that people have absolutely ghosts.
So you got that
people that don't believe in ghosts are just, they're foolish.
It's science.
Right?
Science.
Listen to that guy.
All right, so I hope that you're an opachocious just now. I hope that's your new sign. I hope that's what you're cursed with as a result of this new change from NASA. But you can check it out if you're into the astrology and you want to see what NASA is doing about changing your zodiac sign. It's out there.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Well, it doesn't sound awesome.
The new movie Masterminds is coming out, and they are sponsoring a $1,000 giveaway per day.
What?
So today on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to give away $1,000 to somebody.
Just randomly $1,000. Yes. Here's $1,000.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Weird, right?
That's the
nice
most money we've ever given away on this show.
That is true, yeah.
Really?
If you add everything up from the very beginning,
oh, no.
This is the most. Andrew Siciliano will be here from the NFL Network.
Mm-hmm. How are your Cardinals doing, Kevin?
I think they must have had a
bye.
They must have had a bye week because I didn't see them play.
I saw that they were playing Buffalo, but I wasn't really.
Oh, no, they had a game. I'm just saying they didn't play.
Oh, I see. Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Derek Waters will be here from Drunk History.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
Love him so much. Dr. Stephen Hawking says that we should not be reaching out to aliens because we're just leading them to us. We're leading them to slaughter us.
Oh no!
So we need to stop doing that. So we'll look into that.
He would know.
He would know, right? And Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do. And we take a look at Vin Scully, whose last day was yesterday. Is that right?
His last home game.
Home game, right.
Okay. Kevin, tell me you still haven't heard the song.
I have not.
Oh.
You're going to love it so much. It has everything you want. It has a guy who's 90 mm-hmm. singing a Bette Midler song.
Right.
Like, what's better than that for you?
I will tell you right now, I will not accept any blasphemy. I will not accept anyone saying anything
say
bad.
Anything
I'm looking
yet.
At your face. I will not accept it.
We said nothing.
What Allie's saying is you're going to hear
I'm
it
gonna
and
love
you're
going
to love it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
And also, I'm a Pisces now.
Are you?
No. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:54.
Ralph, you got a Carson Wentz jersey yet?
Nope. Oh, wait a minute. I've had one since the beginning of the season, and I'm wearing it now.
Why are you yelling?
I don't know. Just
what
very
about,
excited.
What about being 23 and being the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles and being 3-0 and having not even thrown an interception yet? What about that guy?
That kid looks real good.
What about that guy?
He's not bad.
Not
that much. I'll give you that much for the news. Here's the sports. Carson Wentz is not bad.
He's enjoying his life right now, isn't he? That's a good deal.
He's a remarkably composed guy, too, which is what you want in a quarterback. But I've watched a ton of interviews with him, obviously, and he is just a good guy, leadership material. Everybody seems to love him, poised, has his S together, has his head screwed on straight.
The city of Philly will poison that, though.
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think that's the kind of working class hero thing they're looking for.
He is a dick?
No, he's not. You're thinking of the other Carson. Plays football, Kevin. That's what you're thinking of. The loser Carson. There's a winner Carson. There's a quarterback, and then there's a loser Carson. There's a quarterback.
Yeah, you're
thinking
right.
of the loser Carson.
Hard to argue
you're
with
thinking
that,
of.
Actually,
he is the founder of ISIS.
Right.
He's the founder of ISIS.
Loser
That's
Carson
the one.
Is.
That's
yes.
the one.
Right.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
It was fun.
It was fun.
5:56. It is Monday morning. And that means it's time for our first look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on? What's new? What's happening?
I had a little peek into the life of Kevin this morning. I tell you, it's terrifying.
What?
I don't like it. I don't want to be there ever again.
What are you talking about?
I couldn't find my keys this morning.
Oh, no. It's terrifying.
And I don't think in my life maybe twice I've ever lost my keys.
Yeah.
What?
Maybe.
Because you have a system.
Right.
Yeah.
I always know where my keys are. My keys are exactly where
Absolutely.
They are. Every time I come home, I put my keys in their place. And when I go to get my keys, they're there in
sure.
that place. This morning, running around, running a little bit late, boom. Keys are not there. And I actually had, like, a meltdown. It was as if I went offline. Because it was so incomprehensible to me that my keys wouldn't be where they always are that I was frozen for a second. And then, if they're not there...
They where
might
would
as
they
well be?
Be
in Norman, Oklahoma.
Oh.
Is that where you found them?
No.
Oh.
But it could have been anywhere.
There's no backup.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego at that point? Because I have no idea where the keys could be.
Oh, no.
So then I start the mad scrambler on the house. I'm looking everywhere, looking everywhere, looking everywhere. And eventually I did find them. I had moved the car over the weekend. I had washed my car and I had moved it. And I put the keys down in the garage to do the windows. And
sure.
then when I was done with the windows, I just walked into the house. So they were in the garage. So I eventually found them. But that 15 to 17 minutes of living like Kevin lives?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
People, don't do it. Run away. Don't be like that. It's awful. It's the worst thing it's ever been, ever.
Ralph, just embrace the suck.
No!
Just embrace it.
Why? When I can put plans into motion
well,
that will keep me
too.
From not sucking.
I have plans, too. It's just then I have,
like
plans. A quarterback, and then I have to check down each place I think they may be. Maybe they're still in my shorts. Maybe they're over here. Maybe
no,
over
that's
I have,
awful.
Like, seven different places.
No. Not every play should be a scramble.
Well.
No, well. There's no well. It's just awful.
I agree to disagree.
No. It's just bad. I was terrified and upset and miserable. For like a solid 16 minutes.
Ralph, I think about Kevin whenever I travel and I get to the airport and I'm, you know, it's an hour and 15 minutes or something like that before I have to board. And I think, Kevin hasn't left the house yet if it's an hour and 15 minutes before the flight.
I don't know.
Imagine the amazing race-like life that Kevin has when he travels.
Terrifying.
How many times have you seen him walk out of here at 10 o'clock and his flight's at noon and he still has to go home and pack?
Oh, I haven't done the pack yet. I gotta go off to pack still. And I have to buy tickets. And I have to get a hotel room for where I'm going to be in 6 hours.
It's just no way to live a life.
It's paralyzing. I'm telling you, it's beyond ha ha ha. It was paralyzing.
I'm saying that's on you, though. I'm saying you're interpreting it that way.
No, it just is.
It isn't the end of the world. You just go, so I forgot I put them in the garage. No big deal.
But in that's the 16 minutes of searching, I'm thinking, okay, now how am I going to get to work? Do I have to get an Uber? How is this finally going to shake out? That's your life every day is how is this going to shake out.
Yeah, but I got over that panic when I was like 3. So since then, everything just seems to work out.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't just work out. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Oh, I guess you're right, yeah.
When you were 3.
I don't know.
All right. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office real quickly. Magnificent Seven debuted number one as expected this weekend. $35 million made it number one. Great to see a Western at the top of the top.
How was it, you guys?
I haven't had a chance yet, but I will check it out this week.
It was great. And Chris Pratt, holy cow.
He's great.
He's just great in everything.
But he never loses keys. Chris Pratt, but he knows just where they are.
Of course not.
Storks for the Kids debuted with $21.8 million, also did very well for itself. Number two, Sully, Bridget Jones's Baby, and Snowden were the top five films at the box office. Blair Witch, Don't Breathe, Suicide Squad, When the Bow Breaks, and Kubo and the Two Strings are the rest of your top 10 movies over the holiday weekend? Over the long... Nope, just the weekend.
See what happens?
See? I'm becoming Kevin. You misplaced your keys. You came in here and you're like, I don't know what weekend it is. Right? That's why Kevin drinks so much. Today's celebrity birthdays, Olivia Newton, mother loving John, is 68 years old today. It's funny. I don't hear any songs from Grease. I don't hear any Let's Get Physical. I don't hear any Xanadu. I don't hear any Olivia Newton-John song playing right now.
That's true.
Because usually when we have a musical icon, there is a little musical tribute.
I feel like somebody somewhere dropped the ball
on
this.
Holy crap.
We'll get right on that.
As if there's...
If we had anything, I'd play it.
Oh.
No, it's too bad.
Unacceptable.
Kevin, you're not going to hate on Olivia Newton-John.
No, you're not. Allie will take no blasphemy to Vin, and I will take no blasphemy to... ONJ.
That's fair.
Right.
ONJ.
Jim Caviezel. He's 48 years old today. He's Jesus.
He is.
Yeah. Tennis player Serena Williams turns 35. And Catfish host Nev Schulman celebrates 32 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know if there is a Nobel Prize for putting up bikini photos of Catherine McPhee, but if there is, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com wins it. Ladies
agreed.
And gentlemen. Harvey Levin. Nobel Prize. How are you, Harvey?
Thank you. I accept on behalf of all the fine people here at TMZ.
That was excellent work over the weekend, those photos,
Thank
dude.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, are you eating?
I'm sorry, you always time this where my breakfast comes right when you guys call.
All right, Harvey, I mean, not to argue with you, but we always time this the exact time we, every single Monday. It's the exact
I just have problems with this. I haven't been able to figure out. It's only been 8 years. I can't figure it out.
Okay. Do you guys order out someplace, or do you have a TMZ chef?
One place open when we when we get in.
And where is that? Where do you guys eat?
Cafe Buna, which is really good, actually. It's in Marina Del Rey. It's actually really, really good.
All right. Well, good tip.
They're going to love this.
Yeah. Nice plug, right?
Yeah.
It is Monday morning. We do catch up with Harvey in the TMZ.com newsroom. A bunch of stuff we want to talk about, and I want to start with just very briefly, the debates are tonight. Now, they're saying Super Bowl-level numbers. Potentially 100 million people will be watching spread out among all the channels and all the websites, and everybody's going to be airing it.
Right.
How many people what percentage of people out there do you think at this point, Harvey, 6 weeks before the election, still haven't made up their mind?
I think an unusually large number of people, because it's such a negative election that I think nobody – there are so many people who are not voting saying, oh, my God, I love that person. It's that I can't stand the other person.
Right.
And there's not as much allegiance when that happens. So that's why I think there's room here. And this could be a really interesting debate. I mean, this could make a difference.
Do you think that what we're looking for is a major mistake to happen? That's really the only – I mean, if they just go out there and they perform well and they hit their talking points and they play to the base, then there's no news made. But if somebody screws up somehow, or if, you know, Hillary collapses and dies on the stage, as many suspect she will, that now you got news.
Yeah, I mean, look, what's going to happen is the media hates Donald Trump. I mean, that's pretty clear. It's amazing to me. I have never seen – anything like NBC News, and there may be as bad on elsewhere, but NBC News has gotten cartoonish. They are so on the attack against Trump. I mean, what they've done is they've become kind of like Fox News on the other side, but they're not declaring it the way Fox does, and it is absurd. I mean, they're
pretending to be impartial.
Well, they're not even, I mean, they might as well wear Hillary Clinton sandwich boards. I mean, it's so ridiculous. But the point being that, you know, they'll probably seize on anything he does and try to make that the beginning and end. But I don't know. I mean, look, one of the things about these debates is that if both of them do well, what it could do is it inspires people. If somebody does well, everybody looks at it as a negative, but if people do well, it inspires people to vote. If they already supported them, it pushes them to the polls. And that's one of the things both sides wants to do. So if you say nobody makes a mistake, it doesn't matter. It kind of matters because if they do well, it not only cements their base, but it inspires people to vote. And that's the difference here, because if you have a close election and, you know, 10% of the people on one side don't go out, the other person wins.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. All right, let's move on. Brad and Angelina, some of us are still a little sad about that news that broke last week. What do you know now, a few days in, Harvey, about what caused this? Because they
about the kids. It's all about the kids.
And how so? Parenting styles? Weed?
Well, look, I mean, this incident on this airplane, increasingly I'm hearing, was pretty serious. And, you know, Brad's position on this is that he lunged at Maddox and inadvertently, you know, struck him. Angelina's position, it was intentional and bad. And, you know, the fact that Children's Services is now involved, the fact that the kids do seem to be, you know, I don't know if all of them are, but they seem to be siding with Angelina and have an issue with Brad, you know, it doesn't bode well for him. But this is going to be, this is all about custody. That's all it's about. It's not about money. They were only married 2 years. They had a prenup. Money's taken care of. This is all going to be about custody at this point and this DCFS investigation.
So are we talking, when you say custody, do you mean where the kids live or how much?
She wants sole physical custody. She only wants to give him visitation. And that's really unusual in California because judges, they favor joint custody. Now, I know he's going to ask for joint custody when he files his answer, and that's going to set up a, you know, a possible legal war. But she feels that the kids aren't safe with him, and, you know, the breaking point for her was what happened on the airplane.
Right.
So that's going to be a big issue, and they're going to have to figure out how to settle it. My guess is they will, because I don't think either of them wants to go to trial, and I think they legitimately both want to protect their kids from a trial.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I know you're very close with one of the attorneys in the case. I'm sure you know the reputation of the other. It seems likely that this is something that they're going to hammer out behind the scenes. It'll never go to court, right?
Well, I mean, look, the lawyers involved in this have a track record for settling. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. But honestly, I think a lot of it's going to be driven by the clients. And, you know, it's really what's in their heads right now. I mean, ultimately, they have to decide whether a solution, short of going to court, is acceptable to them. And it's got to be up to them. And she seems to have drawn a line in the sand and said, look, I want sole physical custody. And he doesn't want that. And at a point, you know, either they reach an agreement or they leave it to a judge.
Gotcha. All right, we're going to let you get back to your breakfast, everybody. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com is where you want to go. Look for TMZ and TMZ Live throughout the day on Fox Today. Also TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget your TMZ tour and TMZ chocolate bars. All the details at TMZ.com. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you next time.
You too, guys.
By the way, I haven't mentioned this yet. How about Panic at the Disco at the Forum? We got those tickets for you at 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then at 10, 11, 12, all the way up till 4 p.m. Everyone who wins qualifies for a chance to see the band again, this time in Denver. That grand prize winner will be announced at 5 p.m. That's a pretty good deal. And Panic at the Disco, one of the great live bands on the road today. Get all the details at krock.com.
Physicist Stephen Hawking says, if aliens call, we should be very wary of answering.
What do you guys think about that advice?
I don't hate it. I think that's a great idea.
I feel like our opinion on this is colored by all the movies that we've seen.
Sure.
We've all seen Independence Day, so we all know that sometimes S goes down and they're not always friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think there would be a tremendous – look, the upside is tremendous if you can get along with people from another world.
Right, but that's a big if.
Right.
It is a big if.
We can't even get along with people in our own offices, let alone the state, let alone the country, let alone the world.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Now, what does Dr. Hawking say? Why does he think we should be wary of answering, Kevin?
Well, he just says we should be wary of answering back. Meeting an advanced civilization could be like Native Americans encountering Columbus. That didn't turn out so well.
Well, he's right about that. We wanted to find out more. Our good friend Dr. Stephen Hawking joins us back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hello, Dr. Hawking. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Well, it's a fascinating discussion that that people have been having about this, because science is finding more and more planets that we believe are habitable with life as we understand it, correct?
Yes. With the benefit of super telescopes, we have been able to identify different planets that may be, possibly, could, perhaps, maybe, maybe not support human life.
So it sounds to me like you're saying it's a slam dunk. There's just life everywhere.
No.
I'm not saying that.
Not saying that at all, okay. Really.
The most popular one in the scientific community these days is Galois 832c, super Earth.
Oh, it's like four or five times the size of Earth, and you say if they reach out to us, we should not reach back. Why?
Because if they have the ability to travel to our planet or communicate with our planet, they would be highly more advanced than we are.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like me running across Kevin.
But wouldn't it be an opportunity? I mean, they could have the answers to curing all diseases, for instance. I mean, they could know, they could have so much knowledge. They could have incredible technology that would enable us to fly or to more easily grow food. They could teach us so much, Doctor.
Yes. They might teach us how to grow food.
I'm saying it.
Finally master that power that we've been wanting to have for so long.
No, no, no.
Bad example.
How do you know about Mr. Bad Example?
I know everything. I'm Stephen Hawking.
You are Stephen. That's
true.
I mean grow
they
food.
They could teach us how to grow food. That would come in handy.
I mean, in
I
ways
hope
that we...
some of our farmers meet some aliens someday. Maybe we can have corn.
I meant in ways that we haven't understood yet, that we don't know how to do, more efficient ways of growing food.
Listen, if they come to this planet, we're going to be slaves. Period.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
We will do their grunt work and probably be their sex concubine.
Mm. Oh, go on.
At least I hope.
Me too.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
It is Monday, and it is Ralph Garman time on the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it is Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. See what people went to see in their theaters this weekend. Magnificent Seven debuted, and as expected, topped the box office, racking up $35 million in its debut weekend. Here's the thing. A lot of people say that movie stars are dead. That you cannot count on a film opening large at the box office anymore simply based upon who the star is. And I'd say that is more true than not, in except for a few special exceptions. And yep. One of those is Denzel Washington.
Same. I'll go see anything he's in.
And another one may be Tom Hanks, maybe one of the last of the movie stars where people will go just because it's a new Tom Hanks movie. But other than that, it's a pretty good argument. I mean, it's hard to say. There's not really any movie star you can bank on to say, if we put this person in the lead of our film, people will go to see it. But those two guys, for sure.
I agree with both of those. I mean, look, how frequently do I go to the movies? And I saw Sully.
See?
Right? That's the appeal of Tom Hanks right there.
But there's so much potential death in that film, too, that you probably couldn't stay away.
That's
those
true.
People all could have died. That must have given you such a boner.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Death boner.
Death boner.
We already kind of knew what happened.
Greatest band name ever, by the way.
Death boner.
Magnificent Seven debuted with $35 million, making it number one. Then Storks, the animated film, debuted at number two. Sully was third. Bridget Jones's Baby was fourth. Snowden was five. Blair Witch, Don't Breathe. Suicide Squad, When the Bow Breaks. And Kubo and the Two Strings, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Mike Rowe seems like a bit of a nut, right?
Yes.
I mean, he seems like a good guy. We've had him in a bunch of times here on the show.
I like him.
He's got a great voice.
Mm-hmm.
He's entertaining on the television with the... with the Dirty Jobs Done Dirt Cheap, that show he
right.
does, and Hey, Look at Me, This is Bad, and all those other shows that he does. But
right.
he seems, strikes me as maybe a little bit of a nut.
A little off? Why?
Because he seems a little nutty.
Okay. Like he enjoys putting his hand in a cow's hoo-ha?
No, not his work stuff, but like he seems a little, maybe swings a little bit right of center.
Okay.
And a little bit, he's got like an axe to grind sometimes. It seems like when he could go off, he could really go off.
Okay.
Right. Anybody else getting that vibe from him?
I had not before,
I did not know.
Well, maybe if you saw the footage of him nude pointing a shotgun at a drone flying over his house, you would change your opinion.
I am Googling that right now.
Well, here's the thing, Al. He doesn't exist yet.
Oh.
But Mike Rowe suggests that we may be able to find it online soon because he has recounted the story of how he was sleeping the other morning and someone flying a drone with a camera attached. It was buzzing outside of his bedroom window, filming him naked.
Is that right?
And so he responded as anyone would. He quickly dove and grabbed his shotgun, which he keeps by the bed, and went outside, nude, pointed his shotgun at the drone, and then just decided not to pull the trigger. And he says not because the neighborhood would have frowned upon that, or the local police. But he didn't want footage of an insane Mike Rowe naked shooting shotgun shells at a drone flying over
his
head.
Well, he has to hit it. That's the thing. Otherwise,
you look pretty embarrassed.
Right.
Pull! I'm naked! So he said he just took out his camera instead and took pictures of the drone flying overhead. And he said, you know, there may still be footage at some point if someone recognizes him in that footage of him being nude holding a shotgun outside of
like
his
it's
home.
Not difficult enough for celebrities with people prying into their personal lives. Drones are flying around their windows.
I'm crazy. I know this is a crazy idea. How about pulling the drapes closed?
Well, I mean, there's that.
I'm just saying, if I have an option of running outside naked with my shotgun or closing the drapes to my bedroom window,
naked.
Mm. No, I'm saying drapes.
Drapes. Okay, sorry.
I go drapes.
My bad.
That's me. What do I know? Congratulations to Josh Brolin. Third time's a charm, right? He got married for the third time this weekend. Catherine Boyd is the name of his new bride. This is an A-list wedding, as you can imagine, because James Brolin is his father, who's married to Barbara Streisand. She was there. Bradley Cooper came along. They hung out. This is a case where this woman, Catherine Boyd, was Josh Brolin's personal assistant. I believe when he was married previously to Diane Lane.
To Diane Lane.
Yeah, so. They were meant to be together.
Hmm.
Come on! Hey,
you see that? You see how white people do?
Right?
Right?
It's a new fall season. That means new smash hit TV shows. For example, CBS, still crushing it. All three of the network shows on Friday night were number one of their time slots. MacGyver, big hit. 10.9 million viewers for MacGyver.
How about that?
It's pretty good on Friday night, right?
He can take tinfoil and he can put it in a thing and it'll stop the other thing from happening.
I would watch 100 other shows that are on the air before I would ever be interested enough to watch MacGyver.
Well, you're dumb.
Really? Is there some appeal for you, Kevin, to MacGyver?
Yeah.
A new MacGyver?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin is like MacGyver. Are you kidding me?
Thank you, Ralph.
When he pulls into when he reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out. He's kind of like paper clips,
right?
And a frog and a yo-yo.
But I can make a satellite out of
that. Yeah, and he can make a key card out of it and get into work.
I mean, I feel like I've been watching more of the new shows than the average person. I've really been trying hard to keep up and watch a bunch of this new stuff. And MacGyver, I could not record that fast enough.
All right,
Lethal Weapon 2, for that matter.
The Weapon 2 is out already? I haven't seen the first one yet.
All right, MacGyver, you betcha. What else?
The show that followed it, Hawaii Five-0, came back with big numbers.
I watched that.
10 million viewers. Well, of course you watched that.
Yeah.
Because freaking the dead guy was going to make an appearance on Hawaii Five-0. Jack Lord, who played the original Steve McGarrett in the 1930s, they were going to recreate him and make him have a cameo on the show. And I said, oh, I know Bean's going to watch that because he loves Jack Lord.
About how CGI was going to make it possible for all of your favorite deceased actors. There can be a new name your guy, who you know, whoever you love, they can put him back in a movie today. And that's what they tried to do here, is bring Jack Lord back and have him talk to the new Steve McGarrett.
Right.
How'd it go?
It was not a successful effort at all. Just looked like a video game character.
Oh,
it was not good. I thought the technology was better than it is apparently.
You must have been so crestfallen,
man.
And they didn't use his voice either. They got a voice actor to recreate
Jack
Lord. And I don't think he sounded enough like him.
Oh, this is unacceptable Jack Lord information.
Oh no, this is a colossal disaster.
Oh, America has so many Jack Lord feelings.
I was very disappointed. Like you said, it's a huge hit show. This Hawaii Five-0. and I applaud them for taking a chance, but it was a fail as far as I'm concerned.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
Exactly. Thank right. you.
Dean, no one knows who Jack Lord is, and no one cares.
Correct. Right, but Hawaii Five-0 is a current hit show.
Right. right. But
that's what I'm talking about.
It doesn't
watching
matter
it
whether
night.
It was success or not on that show. It doesn't matter. They just, it was nice of them to even try. They could have just held up a cardboard cutout of Jack Lord and had someone stick their lips through a hole in the face and talk.
I'd like to see that. I would watch that.
And that would have been more than he deserved, quite frankly.
One of television's most dynamic and commanding stars, Jack Lord.
Good Lord.
Right?
Exactly,
Jack
right?
What Jack other Lord. Shows are on there, Ralph? Is this is us on me? There?
She just wants you to move away from Bean's story.
That show did real well. This is us. Did.
I'm just talking about Friday on CBS, given those numbers.
I was just talking about Tuesday.
I know. So, what? Do your own damn report. Jesus. It's not going to do the whole week.
It did real
I'm not,
good.
I'm not Joe Nielsen.
Is that a
his
person?
First name?
Yeah, it's the guy who runs all the ratings.
All right. Oh.
Today's celebrity birthday is Nev Schulman. Catfish host is 32 years old today. Tennis legend Serena Williams turns 35. Actor Jim Caviezel. Of course, you know him from Persons of Interest and the Jesus guy. Very successful film. And Olivia Newton-John! But she gets all slutty and puts on the black outfit, right? Death boner.
Because she's dead, going to heaven. She's
no.
dead the whole time.
Conspiracy
in a coma.
Theorist, Allie McKay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
The NFL Network and Red Zone host Andrew Siciliano joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. And we're just minutes away from our friend Derek Waters, the co-creator and host of Drunk History, which returns for an all-day season tomorrow night. He's going to be joining us in studio in about 15 minutes or so on K-Rock. Allie, you have a lot of VIN time?
Oh,
getting your VIN time this weekend?
It was a very emotional weekend for me and VIN.
It was.
For the Red Sox, my other team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just...
Nobody cares about that, though.
Well, everyone should.
Right.
David Ortiz is having just a banner year. Mookie, I can't even begin to tell you about him. However, VIN, I'm going to say it right now. Kevin,
mm-hmm.
if you laugh at what we're about to play...
Now, why would you say that? Is it... Because
it's beautiful and touching and sincere, yet it's everything you hate. It's
and we don't want you to put your
man,
stink all over it.
It's an old man singing, and it's an old man singing a Bette Midler song.
Okay,
it's
that
like
doesn't bode well for me. Right.
Of hate.
That doesn't bode well for me, but yeah. I do have ultimate respect for him.
Good.
For Vin Scully,
good.
Who has been is 65 years?
67.
67 years.
Yeah, he started with the Dodgers in 1950.
Yeah.
He was calling Dodger games before any of us were born. That's crazy.
Yes. Yeah. It is insane. It's insane. And I will say that I am so grateful that this is not a David Bowie situation where we're waking up to horrible news and now we all have to process what a great person he was and how much impact he made on our lives. I'm so happy that Vin is alive to see the appreciation every night at Dodger Stadium, to see the people who are bringing signs and are singing and applauding. It's so wonderful that he knows how much he means to Southern California.
Didn't all the players like tip their hats to him or something?
When they came up right before they got in the batter's box, they tipped their hat right up to him in the booth.
That's
and
pretty
waved
cool.
Back.
I've never seen that
beautiful.
Before, by
it
the way.
It was beautiful.
I've never seen a situation like that before. And speaking of Andrew Siciliano, who's coming up next there, he tweeted a fact over the weekend that I thought was amazing, is that, and I may have the number not 100% right, but I think it was, since Vin Scully went into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, he has called another 34 years of Dodger baseball since he got into the Hall of Fame.
That's crazy. Aww.
All right. So in addition to what's happening in the broadcast booth, there's also a lot happening on the field as the Dodgers are in a playoff race and they're trying to clinch the division. So yesterday was the day. It was the final home game for the Los Angeles Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Sure would be nice if they could clinch it by either winning this game or having the Giants lose, but they'd rather win the game. Well, it wasn't looking good when it was 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth inning until Corey Seager hits a home run to tie the game to send it to extra innings. Here's Vin's last game at Dodger Stadium. Now it's in the 10th inning, and what do you think happens?
0-1 to Charlie. Swung out. Yeah. division and will celebrate on schedule.
Would you believe a home run?
Why don't they give him a microphone?
Well, the crowd was just very loud.
Wow,
that's crazy.
And by the way, just as an aside, Charlie Culberson, shortstop for the Dodgers, the first home run he hit all season and didn't hit any home runs last season either.
Wow.
Last home run was in 2014, but yesterday in the 10th inning, to do a walk-off send-off for Vin Scully and clinch the division title, that's what happened. All right, so now, here's the thing that Allie was referring to. So the game is over, nobody leaves. As rare as that is in Los Angeles to see a full stadium after in this case, 10 innings, nobody leaves because they want to applaud Vin, and he addresses the crowd. He only spoke for a couple minutes, but here's the part that leads into the song.
Believe me when I tell you, I've needed you far more than you needed me. True, true, true. Anyway, I wanted to try and express my appreciation to all the players, God bless them, and to all you folks here in the ballpark. It's a very, very modest thing. I sang this for my wife. It was a loving gesture. You know the song, The Wind Beneath My Wings. And that's what you are. You're the wings beneath the team's wings. You're the team beneath my wing. So I know it's modest. I know it's an amateur. Do you mind listening?
So now you've got 60,000 people, whatever it is, that are just standing up and hugging each other and holding up their signs, and they're looking up at the booth, and Vin is standing there with his arm around his wife. And by the way, Allie, the fact that he recorded this at some point for his wife.
I can't.
Come on,
I can't.
Right?
It must have been cold there in my shadow.
Don't laugh, you Kevin, son of a bitch.
Dude can sing.
I saw people crying in the crowd.
Sobbing.
Didn't you, Allie? Crying.
Sobbing.
You always walk the step behind. So I was the one with all the glory.
So what's the schedule like for this week for Vin for his final week after 67 years with the Los Angeles Dodgers? Do you know, Allie, is he doing every game this week or is he just doing next weekend in San Francisco?
I think he's just doing three more, no?
Three more in San Francisco? That's
it? I could
it?
Be wrong. I'm trying to listen to Vin sing.
Sorry, I'll let you get through the
hook. Plus she has a tissue.
A beautiful smile to hide the pain.
Take it home, Vin.
Vin said when he introduced
Why would I
it.
Laugh at that, by the way? That's amazing.
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin. Shut up, Bean. That's truly amazing.
It's very sweet, right?
It's very sweet, and he can sing really well.
Of course he worst can. Case, he is Vin Scully.
Worst case scenario, you go, we love this guy, and now he's going to get up there and butcher a song. He's going to sound terrible. He can actually sing as well.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. I just felt like old person plus Bette Midler song. You
but
were going to find something. It is Vin
Look,
Scully.
I hate baseball. And when I would come across a game on the radio, I would listen to Vin Scully because he's that good of an announcer.
He's that good of an announcer.
If you could have seen it too, Kevin, he just had his arm around Sandra and they were just, he's wiping away tears. They're showing the crowd. It was
a beautiful moment.
Getting a little emotional now.
It really was. We're damn lucky to have him, that's for sure. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see this final week of the great Vin Scully. I wouldn't want to be that poor sucker who replaces him next season,
nope.
By the way. I know the guy's already in the broadcast organization. He's already been doing some of the games and stuff like that. But that's going to be his gig next year.
But I want to know what song he's going to sing when he starts next year.
Right?
Rump Shaker.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m., Comedy Central. Season 4 of Drunk History, ladies and gentlemen. Our friend Derek Waters The genius behind Drunk History joins us back in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, Derek?
It's great to be home. It's great to be home. Thanks for having me back.
I don't see this on the paper in front of me, but do I remember that you guys were nominated for an Emmy this year?
That is true.
That happened, right?
Yes, that did happen.
That was not a fever dream. Like, literally, for reals, you were nominated for an Emmy.
I was definitely nominated. We were nominated for 3 Emmys. Wow. Didn't win any, but, you know.
But were you sufficiently drunk that had you won, you would have gone up on stage and done the right thing?
I would have
thing?
Been accused because, you know, it's you sound drunk. 7:30 and this is my voice.
Yeah.
So at 7:30 at night, it sounds the same.
I sound drunk a lot as well, but I'm just saying that would have been a great way for you to accept.
You think so?
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been the end of it?
No. Oh, you just sort of said, bleh.
Yeah.
That would have been the best ever.
Derek, how do you find out when you're nominated for an Emmy?
You get a call in the morning that's very exciting. It's happened to me twice, so they've been very early calls, and you know when they're going to announce, so you try not to think about it, and then it happens, and, you know, it's just cool.
Well, good for you.
Thank
good for you.
Thank you.
Are you surprised? If I'd have talked to you before the first episode of Drunk History aired on Comedy Central and told you that you'd still be going strong 4 seasons in, would you have been surprised by that news?
100%. Yeah. No, I thought maybe a season, maybe 2, if you got lucky. If I got lucky, yeah. So it just evolved into its own thing, and I'm just part of it now.
I feel like the recreators are that's the magic of the show.
Right.
The actors who act out. I mean, I think
that's
just...
I like that you say recreators. I say reenactors, but I like
it's recreators. It's probably reenactors
like
as well.
Recreators.
It seems more accurate reenactors to me. All right, these are wrong words.
But yes, the reenactors.
Yes, those. Yes. Yeah. That, to me, that's the genius part of the show because it's so funny and you get such big stars to do that.
It's insane.
It is insane.
Yeah, and it's really fun to watch them lip sync, you know? Like, what would it be like to see Will Ferrell lip sync? And yeah, we get to see it. That's all I wanted as a kid. How can I see famous people lip sync?
I've never tried that. Is it difficult to do, Derek?
It's really hard. You know, anyone, you know, I'd say... You know, most people have lips and can move them. So it's easy to move your lips, but then it's also like it's a rhythm. When people are like, how do you learn it? I say, well, it's kind of like a song. Just because you know the words doesn't mean you know how to sing it. So I know that sounds artsy-fartsy, but it's a whole rhythm of learning how to say it, not
especially
what they're saying.
Especially when the narrator starts slurring or starts, like, screaming out of nowhere,
right,
and the person is going along, telling a totally normal sentence, then just flips on a dime.
Yeah.
Tony Hale, magic.
Magic. Yes, he is magical. Yeah.
He's one of our favorites.
He's one of my favorites. He comes twice this season. He's playing Buster Keaton and James Monroe.
Do you have people lining up trying to get in to do that?
Yeah, a lot of people from back home, a lot of family members.
People you went to high school
just
with.
A friend named Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah, there's a lot of people waiting to do it, and I'm so excited. So, yeah, we're still editing season 4, and we just started season 5. So
wow.
I'm going to try to...
Well, there's plenty of history to choose from. You're never going to run out of historical events. That's
hopefully
for sure.
Yeah.
But you have made a change up this year, right? You're doing different themes this year.
A little switchy do, if you will.
Switchy
do, as they say in the old days. Instead of going to cities this season, every episode is going to be a different theme. I just felt last year and the previous years that some stories were forced in just because of where they took place. So now I stand by every story this season. I've liked everything we've done.
So
but
last
this,
season was bogus.
Yeah, those were all made up.
Okay.
I made all those up. No, these are all just... everyone who's promoting a show will say, this is the best season. But it really is my favorite
season. What kind of themes are we talking?
Well, we have food. We all like food. There's
sure
a history of food. There's one about siblings. There's a story about the Wright brothers, and we reveal that there was a Wright sister that taught them how to do everything. And
of course she did.
Yeah. What happened to that?
Who right knows?
Why did they do that? And then we have one about Great Escapes. That's our season premiere. We have one. I can't say the S word, but the S word shows.
Sports.
I don't think that's the word that he can't say.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. And then we have an episode all about Hamilton. That episode's all one episode, and that guy Lin-Manuel Miranda is narrating that.
Is that right?
Yeah. So That will be...
That's pretty cool.
That'll be the one they watch.
When is Billy Joe Armstrong... When is Billy Joe Armstrong on?
Oh, he's on the second episode. He's with Tony Hale. He's playing Charlie Chaplin next to Buster Keaton.
Nice. Stop it.
Nice.
That was really cool. And, you know, musicians are really good at lip-syncing from music videos. I think they still make music videos.
They do.
Do they?
But he was so cool. And he looks like him.
He does. I saw the photo, the still photo that came out of it, and I was amazed at how much he looks like Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, it was really cool. And he's like, I've been obsessed with Charlie Chaplin like, for the past year researching.
Really?
And it was just a random thought. I mean, I've always liked him, and I just thought he looked like
that's
Chaplin.
Cool. Yes. Hey, I want to go back. This is the voice of Derek Waters here on the Kevin and Bean Show, in case you're wondering why we have two drunk guys on the air with us today.
Hey, now.
The usual one. But I want to go back to Lin-Manuel Miranda for a second, because since the success of his Hamilton, I would imagine he gets asked to participate in 100 things a day must go through his office of people who are trying to get him to do something. Mm-hmm. Was he a tough get?
He, you know, I agree with you. Yeah, everybody wants him. But luckily, I had heard that he liked the show and he always wanted to do it. And, you know, he said, I couldn't do Hamilton because that was the first one they did online. But I just reached out to him and talked to him and said, well, let's make it different. Let's make it a whole episode of Hamilton and put in stuff that you didn't get to put in the musical. So it was great. We filmed it at his parents' house and we got drunk and... Yeah.
Did his parents get drunk as well?
No.
It's too bad.
And you're going with female casting for Hamilton and Burt, right?
Switch-a-do, as they say.
Another switch-a-do.
Yeah.
When exactly did they say switch-a-do?
1942.
Okay. Oh, all right. Didn't think you'd have that answer.
The war. Yeah. Now, Alia Shawkat plays Hamilton and
Aubrey Plaza. Oh, I love her so much.
She's the best. And Aubrey Plaza plays Burr. The two of them are just unbelievable.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I want to see that one tomorrow night. Can you make a switch?
I wish, but I need to have the fans watch the whole season.
All right. Tomorrow night at 10:30 on Comedy Central, it's the return of Drunk History. More with our guest, Derek Waters, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Derek Waters, co-creator and host of Drunk History, which returns season 4, Comedy Central, tomorrow night, 10:30, is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't even know this accusation that Ali just made to you off the air. What's happening here, Derek?
What accusation?
About him basically being a groupie and stalking Pearl Jam across the country?
What's going on? Is that true, Derek?
Well, I love Pearl Jam. And
have you been stalking?
I wouldn't say stalking. I just go to a lot of their shows. Mm-hmm. And I'd never been to Wrigley Field, so mm-hmm. I went to both shows. But I wasn't. Did someone say I was stalking?
Did you hang out afterwards and sort of wait for him at his hotel room or anything?
So
could
what?
Be considered
so
stalking?
So what? I'm waiting.
So
I'm not stalking.
Why are you so judgy, Kevin?
You're waiting patiently
for
your turn. Okay.
Yes, exactly. Are you stalking Santa Claus? No, you're just waiting to sit on his lap and tell him you've loved him since you were 12.
Okay, so have you gotten Pearl Jam? Have you combined your twin loves and gotten Pearl Jam involved in Drunk History yet?
Almost. I was really close. That's why I was there. I was going to shoot someone that Yvette her, and then
is that true?
That was true. It is true. Probably the reason why I'm going to do one more season. I was like, because it was so close.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would do that.
Yeah, that's why really excited, you know. But yeah, it didn't work out. But I got to hang out backstage, and it was really cool. One thing that stood out is I had tickets because I'm in 10 Club, not to brag. And
the fan club.
The band, because I've known the keyboardist Boom for a while, and so he got me good tickets. So I was like, oh, I get to do the thing that everyone like wishes, like. I have tickets. I can go find the younger version of myself outside waiting to come see Pearl Jam and be like, hey, do you want to go see the show? It took me a half hour to convince people that there were free tickets and you can just go.
They just didn't trust you?
No, because everyone's so used to getting scammed. I'm like, no, these are the tickets. Like, just promise me you're going to go in.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. No, we're good. We're watching it from the bar. And then I just walked past this one guy. He's like, babe, I bet if we just went up to the box office, we'd get some. I was like, did you want to come in? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, here you go. Do you promise to go in? Yeah. And then he's like, man, I knew this would come. This is what I wish he wouldn't have said to me. He's like, I knew this would come back to me. I always give away my free fish tickets at shows. I knew this. And I was like, oh, man.
No.
These are your people, though, Derek.
Yeah, you surround yourself with what you create. Yeah.
You have Dave Grohl
mm-hmm.
and Ben Folds on this upcoming season of Drunk History.
I love it.
Speaking
I
of musicians
it.
We
yes.
love.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah. No, I have the best Make-A-Wish Foundation I've ever been part of.
You have one of my favorite humans in the world. Fox Sports is Katie Nolan. Mm. And it got me thinking, well, what's the most recent bit of history that you'll do? Because she could do 2004 Red Sox. She could do Deflategate. But mm-hmm. you don't do things that recent, do you?
Right. And I would never do anything that having to do with the Patriots or
right.
the Red Sox.
I'm right here.
Right, because
I can
no,
hear
that's
you.
The right decision.
Yeah.
Because you don't
Baltimore.
Want the show to
I'm
end.
Not, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't want my audience to deflate. Sorry. but Katie tells a great story about how Teddy Roosevelt saved football. So there's football
okay.
in there. And
okay.
But Katie Nolan's my favorite.
I She's get the idea best. She can drink.
She can. Yeah. She can
get
drink.
That idea.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by Ali's question about how recent an event you would do.
Do you I guess as long as it's over. Do you know what I mean? Like, as long as it's finished. You know, because, you know, a lot of people will
What's
ask,
the most current one you have done? Do you remember?
Yes. Was
Dolly
it
Parton.
That one. Maybe Patty Hearst is
okay.
a little more recent.
70s, yeah. right? And you're doing Disco Demolition this year.
Yeah,
and that's what,
79,
I think? That's
yep,
pretty good.
Yeah, and Bob Odenkirk narrates that. That's
oh, how about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the best, too.
He is, yeah. I'm surrounded by greatness. I have
so,
nothing to complain about.
When you get home tonight and you turn on the debate, you're going to think, man, in 40 years, I can do a phenomenal drunk history about the Donald Trump campaign.
Possibly, but you know...
Do you see yourself doing this 40 years from now?
No.
He's the fan of comedy.
When you would talk about would I be surprised, yeah, that... Yeah, tell who was ever running...
That's a crazy assumption on Bean's part.
Yeah. No, I think it's a... people go, well, what type of stories won't you do? And I say, if anything's too sad... And that's the reason why I wouldn't do this
Deflategate.
Debate.
Yeah,
or
I
Deflategate.
It.
That's not what he was saying at all.
Debate.
He said
very
Patriots
sad.
Is the reason he wouldn't
very
do that
Very sad
one.
The way Goodell just handled that whole thing. It's very sad.
All right. We're almost out of time, Derek. We you know how much we love your show and have
Thanks.
Since episode one. And we, of course, urge our audience to watch tomorrow night at Comedy Central 10:30. But tell us something we don't know about tomorrow night's episode that really is going to flip the switch with people. And they're going to absolutely set up to record it.
I'm really excited for people to learn about this baker that Chris Parnell plays on the Titanic, because we've heard the Titanic story 800 times, but this baker is one of the six survivors of the Titanic, and the main reason he survived is because he was blind drunk.
Is that
the
right?
The whiskey, you know, didn't... or allowed his body to deal with the frozen water.
See, kids?
Yeah.
See
yeah.
kids? So
yep.
drink.
Absolutely.
And then they put him in an oven because he's frozen, and he realizes, yesterday I was a pie, and now I am a pie. It's
happening?
Great. It's really great. What? Yeah, I think that would be a surprise. You'll learn Timothy Leary escaped prison. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
On acid?
No.
Oh.
Literally.
Yeah, he just
really?
Escaped prison. Yeah.
So it's entertaining and educational is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying.
Tomorrow night, 10:30, Comedy Central, the return of Drunk History Season 4. So excited. So many great stories. So many great stars this year. We can't wait to watch you, Derek. It's always a pleasure to have you on, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you guys very much.
You bet. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55.
So what you're saying, Ralph, is that you give and you give and you give. And just when we think you can't give anymore, you give again?
Yeah, I'm a, I'm a bottomless pit of giving is what I am.
What's
I'm the Mariana Trench of give. Kevin, Mariana Trench, anything for you?
Nope.
That doesn't ring a bell? No significance to you whatsoever?
Not a bit, no.
Mariana Trench?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope. You can keep asking. I'm going to give you the same answer.
Okay. Allie? Nothing?
Nothing.
Really? Oh.
Isn't
I gotta
that
work on my references.
Right? Yeah. It's either
Wait,
a...
why didn't you have to
what,
work
Bean,
on your references for me,
know?
But not Allie?
Well, no, I think
Kevin,
I have...
If I avoided everything you didn't know, I would never be able to make a reference
okay,
for anything.
Well said. Okay.
It's part of the... It's an... it's
well done.
Isn't it a super deep part of the ocean?
It is, to the best of their knowledge, the deepest part of the bottom of
oh,
the
I
ocean.
Oh, I thought it was a
yeah.
woman. Mariana Trench.
You thought there was a woman named Mariana
yes,
Trench?
I was
I'm just keeping my mouth shut.
You're smart, Kevin.
I win this
Your
one.
Stock is rising. Meanwhile, sell Ally McKay. If you've got McKay, sell it. Get the broker on the phone. She's going down.
Listen, I'm a giver like Mariana Trench. Obviously, that's another lady that maybe she was very charitable. No?
Oh, all right, so the point is, Ralph comes in here all the time, and he gives tickets to festivals, he gives tickets to movies, he gives tickets to Hollywood showbiz type events. But today, hard cash. What's happening? $1,000 cash.
I'm going to be giving away $1,000.
You are.
Well, not me exactly, but our good friends behind the movie Masterminds, starring Zach Galifianakis and Kristen Wiig. You know, the movie is... The movie's about a bank heist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's about a couple of boneheads who rob a bank. And so in keeping with the theme of cash and stealing cash, you'll be able to steal $1,000 from us today if you can win our Masterminds-themed game we're going to be playing in the next segment. So if you'd like to win $1,000, if you'd like to steal $1,000 from us and from Masterminds, you can give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. It's a, well, I won't give it away, but let's just say it's bank-related and movie-related.
Okay.
So if you know your movies and you know especially maybe some bank heist movies, that those kind of things, this might be a good game for you.
That's some real money, by the way. $1,000.
$1,000?
That makes a difference.
It is real money.
It's a good point, Bean.
Well, I'm just saying a lot of times we give
it's
away prizes
Monopoly
that are...
money.
That are $40, you know what I mean? This is $1,000.
Right.
Right.
When do we like give it. Away $40?
We don't, Allie. Don't. She's the worst example giver.
Wrong.
I mean,
sometimes
like
we teach wrong. People how to raise crops.
No, I'm saying, like, we give away a Panic at the Disco ticket. That might be a $40 value or a $50 value or something like that. This is $1,000. My point is, it's
do
a
you price. Think that people listening don't know how much money this is?
Do you think $1,000? They say, I don't. I have no frame of reference for that number.
I hope the guy on the radio puts this into perspective.
Is that a
for
lot
me.
Of money or a very little amount of money? I can't. I have no experience with this $1,000 you speak of.
I'm just impressed with us.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
Right? That's the truth. Let's take a look at the movies over the weekend, see what people went to see. Magnificent Seven. $35 million. I gave a little boost there. $35 million made it number one. Storks was two. With $21.8 million in its debut. Sully came in at number three with $13.8 million. Then Bridget Jones's Baby and Snowden were the top five films. Blair Witch, Don't Breathe, Suicide Squad, When the Bow Breaks, and Kubo and the Two Strings were your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. Pretty cool event over the weekend. Chris Martin was performing at his curated concert festival, the Global Citizen Festival. Every year promises a very cool lineup. And no surprise, and no exception this year, when out on stage walked Eddie Vedder to join Chris Martin on stage for a little set, the two of them teaming up together.
All right.
Wow.
You can go to RollingStone.com if you want to see the video. Really pretty cool. They got together. They did a little song called Nothing Man. Does that sound familiar to any Pearl Jam fans?
Sure.
They did a Patti Smith song called People Have the Power, a protest anthem. And I thought it was an interesting little duet between the two of them, a piano and guitar duet cover of Crowded House's Don't Dream It's Over.
Oh,
yeah, the two of them doing that together was really cool. Here's a little sample.
Hey now, hey now, don't dream it's over. Hey now, hey now, when the world comes in, they're gone, to build a wall between us. You know they won't win, nothing will win.
I got chills hearing
that. Oh, that is so good.
Just the two of them, piano, guitar, and the two voices. But boy, are they good together.
I love it when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, it's really neat. And lastly, I don't think there's any hope that Angelina and Brad are going to get back together.
Were we thinking that there was a chance?
Well, I think there's always a chance. You know, they got kids together and very passionate people. Sometimes tempers flare and then cooler heads prevail. But I think there is a sign that indicates that things are truly and definitely over. The Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt wax figures at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in London have been separated. A British spokesperson for the museum said the wax figures, which were at one time next to each other, very closely, have now been moved to a respectful distance from each other. Company has announced they have Angelina and Brad statues at 15 of their 20 locations around the world, and they will be splitting them up at their museums worldwide.
Guy's taking it hard.
Well, he's really... once they move the wax figures,
right?
That's the end. That's
no,
the
can't,
back.
Yeah. That's, can't move those back.
This is it. When I say this is it, this is it. Because the wax figures, as you know, much like astrology,
sure,
tell our futures. That was an interesting talk this morning with you know who.
Yeah.
I'm right here. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she can see me yeah. nodding
well,
towards
I see
her.
You,
not,
I feel like we need to have that conversation a little bit more tomorrow.
That was
I do feel like Allie is maybe as
wacky
a,
times.
As a human, maybe shouldn't believe in astrology at this point.
I don't know how much I believe in it. It's just how much I don't believe. Right? Boom.
I don't even know
nailed
what that means.
It doesn't mean anything. That's why.
I love it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Nev Schulman is 32 years old today. He, of course, the host and creator of Catfish. Serena Williams turns 35. Jim Caviezel, you know him from Persons of Interest, 48 years old. And Olivia Newton-John!
No, that is not. Hey, how dare you?
Yeah,
what? No. Come on.
Is that not Olivia Newton-John?
No, that's not O&J.
Oh.
Right.
It's her with John Travolta, of course, from Greece. I'll say, you know, hopelessly devoted to you might have been another choice you could make with just her singing.
Could have.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or Let's Get Physical.
Right.
Or Xanadu.
Mm-hmm.
Or I Honestly Love You.
Or
No!
No?
Come on! Okay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This masterminds, you guys, in theaters this weekend. Good deal. Zach Galifianakis, Kristen Wiig, Owen Wilson, mastermindsmovie.com. They're giving us $1,000 to give to you, right?
Yes. You want to know how we're going to do it?
Yes, please.
We're going to be asking you trivia questions about famous movies that involve robbing banks, just like Masterminds. These are famous films that involve robbing banks. We will play you an audio clue from that movie, describe the movie to you. You need to name the film, and then you'll go into a drawing. We'll draw out one lucky name, and that lucky winner will win $1,000. It's a game we're calling Bank On It!
Bank On It! Bank On It! Bank On It!
$1,000 just for you. Name that movie, that's what you do. Come on, y'all.
Bank on it, bank on it, bank on it.
Movies about bank robberies. If you get it right, say 1,000, please. Come on, y'all.
Bank on it, bank on it, bank on it.
$1,000, okay, all right. We're so kind. Oh. Courtesy of Mastermind.
Hey. Come on, y'all. Bank on it, bank on it,
yeah.
Bank on it.
Omar channeling some Curtis Blow there this morning. That's nice.
Sugar Hill Gang. You know.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. If you're on hold to play, you'll be naming the movie that involves a bank robbery. Kevin, who's our first contestant, please?
Devin in Tustin. Hi, Devin.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Devin. I'm going to describe for you the film, then I'm going to play you an audio clue, okay? So wait for all the pieces.
Okay.
Here's the film description. As he plans his next job, a longtime thief tries to balance his feelings for a bank manager connected to one of his earlier heists, as well as the FBI agent looking to bring him and his crew down. Here's the audio.
I need your help. I can't tell you what it is. You can never ask me about it later, and we're going to hurt some people.
Whose car are we going to take?
All right, there's your audio from the film. You know what movie it is?
That is The Town.
Boom!
Yeah.
Town.
Well done.
Bank on it.
Bank on it.
Bank on it.
You're going in the drawing.
How great is that movie?
It's a great film.
Let's go to AJ in Anaheim. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
AJ, your film, two Wild West bank robbers migrate to Bolivia while on the run from the law in search of a more successful criminal career. Here's the audio.
All right, I'll jump first.
Nope.
Then you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you?
I can't swim!
You know the movie?
I'm going to guess because I actually don't know the movie.
Why don't you guess then?
The original Italian Job?
No, we're looking for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid was that film.
All right.
All right, thanks. Thanks for letting us say that that's what it was.
Let's go to Rich in Irvine. Hi, Rich.
Good morning.
Hey, Rich, here's your film. An FBI agent and an Interpol detective track a team of magicians who pull off bank heists during their performances. Here's the audio.
It's 11:50 p.m. here in Vegas. That's 8:50 a.m. in Paris. Your bank opens in less than 10 minutes. One, two,
three.
Ooh. You know what movie that is, Rich?
Oh, crap. I don't know.
It's a big hit. Now You See Me. Now You See Me. Bank on it. Bank on it.
Bank on it. All right. Let's go to Ian in Thousand Oaks. Hi, Ian.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Ian. Here's your film. A street racer and his crew plan a massive heist to buy their freedom while in the sights of a powerful Brazilian drug lord and a dangerous federal agent. Here's the audio.
You're under arrest. Arrest? I don't feel like I'm under arrest. How about you, Brian?
Nah, not a bit. Not even a little bit.
I'll just give it a minute. It'll sink in.
Yeah! You know what that movie that is?
Fast Five?
Yeah!
Wow! Good pull. Wow, I would have bet against you on that one.
Dude, that was a total guess.
Well, it's so hard. There's 47 job. Fast movies. It could have been any one of them, but well done, sir. You're in the drawing.
Let's go to Jonathan in Fullerton. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Jonathan, an FBI agent goes undercover to catch a gang of surfers who are bank robbers. Here's the audio.
You're trying to tell me the FBI is going to pay me to learn to surf?
It's either you or me out there on the board. You get my drift?
Angelo, this is for little rubber people who don't shave yet.
Come on. You're the quarterback, Jock. It's all balance, right? And coordination. How hard can it be?
How hard can it be?
So good. Oh, that's an easy one. Point Break.
Point Break, yeah. Indeed. Bank on it. Bank
on it. All right, Jonathan is in the drawing. Devin's in the drawing. Ian, so far, playing for $1,000 cash, courtesy of the new film Masterminds in theaters this weekend. Kevin, who's our next contestant, please?
Mary in Manhattan Beach. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Mary. Here's your film. A thief and his accomplices plan to rob three Las Vegas casinos simultaneously.
This is the vault at the Bellagio. It's located below the strip, beneath 200 feet of solid earth. It safeguards every dime that passes through each of the three casinos above it. We're going to rob it.
Here's the plan.
What could go wrong?
You know the movie, Mary?
Oceans 11, 12, or 13.
We'll take your first answer. How about that? Oceans 11. Well perfect. Done. You're in the drawing.
Nicely done. Thank you. Bank on
it. Bank on it. Let's do one more. What do you say?
One more. Right.
Let's try Elliot in Glendora. Hi there.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Elliot. A cop and a Harlem store owner are targeted by a German terrorist in New York City where he plans to rob the Federal Reserve building. Here's the audio.
Fill that a third of the way up. He said be precise. Exactly 4 gallons.
Cop in 50 miles is running his ass off and I'm out here playing kids games in the park.
Hey, you want to focus on the problem at hand?
Yeah.
That's Die Hard 3. Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Boom!
Nice. That's done. Bank on it. Bank
on it. Bank on it. All right. I'm a little bit nervous. We're giving away $1,000 here. One of our contestants on hold is going to win it. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Devin.
Devin.
Yeah! Devin.
Congratulations, Devin.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Hey, cheer down, Devin. $1,000, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
You better use $750 of that to go see Masterminds in theaters this Friday, all right?
Sounds good.
And thanks for playing the game. Bank on
it. Bank on it. He is the host of Up to the Minute on the NFL Network, Monday through Fridays at 1, and of course the Red Zone channel on DirecTV. Our friend Andrew Siciliano jumps on the phone with us right now on K-Rock. Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, guys.
We met a super fan of yours today. Derek Waters, the creator of Drunk History, was in here. He was very sad that you weren't in Berlin.
Really?
Yeah, because he wanted to meet you. But he was asking us if you came up with the idea for the Red Zone, and we didn't know the answer to that, so we thought we would ask you.
I would love to do the show drunk, by the way. I mean, it puts two shows
together. We would love that as well.
That would be awesome. Drunk Red Zone would be the greatest show ever.
The bathroom streak would certainly come to an end. The answer is no. I did not come up with it. It was actually the people at Fox, long story, many years ago, 12 years ago now, this is our 12th year, Fox owned DirecTV, Eric Shanks, David Hill at Fox, kind of came up with the idea because they had done it with Sky in Italy with Italian soccer, Serie A soccer on game days, except they weren't taking network feeds. They were actually all in a room, and you had Italian play-by-play broadcasters, like at partitions, like office space, doing the play-by-play on each of the games, and so they could actually stand up, and the guy in Firenze can stand up and make eye contact with the guy calling the game in Roma, and they could look across the room and toss it to the other guy, and then they would pick up the next game, and that was the concept, and then they tried it with football, and it worked, I guess.
That's kind of a low-rent version of what you guys are doing, the high-tech version.
Yeah, kind of.
I like
That's soccer. This is football.
How often does it happen, what happened to you yesterday, where for about a half a minute, all the games were in commercials at the same time?
So it never happens in the morning games because
there's so many games, right?
There's too many games.
Yeah.
Yesterday, that actually happened. It did it for about 25 seconds. We had eight games in the morning or in the 1 o'clock window in the East, and it actually happened. And I couldn't, I yelled for my phone, and they couldn't find my phone, which was sitting off camera on a desk. And I wanted to take a picture of our wall to prove it to people because, of course, they wouldn't believe it.
Do they
but it actually happen?
Do they complain? Like, what are you doing? Why aren't you showing any action? Do they really not believe you?
All right, listen. I love our viewers. I love them,
but they're
more
stupid
than life itself. However,
yes,
there's a but. They, I don't want to say that they're spoiled, but we are now used to having constant action. And yes. Because I solicit, hey, you know, talk back to your TV, you know, hit me up on Twitter. Like,
yeah, that's your mistake. Theater. That's your mistake right there.
Right, yes. Yeah. So they will complain. They will accuse me, for example, of betting on a game if for some reason we're sticking on a game too long for their liking. You must be betting on this game when you get off this game. Or you must have someone on your fantasy team in this game. Or why am I paying all this money to see this crappy game? And they don't realize that yet sometimes six of the eight are in commercials, and you have to see a quarterback with a first and 85 backed up on his own.
That is very funny. Well, listen, I want to talk about a couple of games, and I think a good way to get into it would be, here's a lesson several teams learned yesterday. Why is it so hard to find a guy who can kick a field goal, Andrew?
So I assume you're talking about the Browns game here.
The Browns game, among others. I mean, I'm sure Tampa Bay wishes they had a better kicker, too.
Yeah, the Bucs wish they did. So, look, the Browns, and there is an industry online that actually pays well about just creating snark about the Browns. We know that they have all their quarterbacks injured, but what a lot of people don't know is that their luck is so bad that on Friday, their kicker got injured during their walkthrough.
Oh,
I don't know how that happened. So they had to sign a kicker off the street. And that kicker off the street, used to be the Eagles kicker, Cody Parkey, missed three field goals, all makeable, including what would have been the game winner at the end of regulation that would have never lost. So, and look, there's a reason he was sitting on his couch Friday morning. There's a reason.
Yeah.
He was without a job. They called him to do a job. He failed. So...
But isn't that
how bad their luck is?
Isn't that just pure Browns?
Well, see, and there's the snark.
They are the Charlie Browniest team of all time, aren't they, Andrew?
I mean, Terrell Pryor, the former Raider quarterback, did something that had not been done in like 70 years in the NFL. He caught 100 yards worth of passes. He ran for like 30-something yards. He threw five passes, completed three. He had like 40 yards passing as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he had what he did yesterday had not been done since the late great Frank Gifford with the Giants.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, they lost.
Very impressive. Chip, you get that one. I know no team wanted to win it, but yours did win it at least.
Congratulations to Chip and her Dolphins.
Right? How did you feel about the Rams? They broke their touchdown drought, looking pretty good yesterday. What do you think?
They not only scored one touchdown, they scored many touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they're 2-1 and they're in first, you know, and I'm not sitting here standing on the table screaming the Rams are going to the Super Bowl. It's early. All I'm saying is that the overreaction for week one was so loud and so over the top this team was not bad as they showed week one. I don't know where they're going, but the defense, which is what they knew they had, save for a few holes, did its job yesterday. They brought it down to the final play, so at least you got your money's worth after the hour-long rain.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. How often does that happen where a game just goes on pause for lightning, Andrew? Is that pretty common?
It doesn't happen that often. You know, it happens a lot in the preseason with summer thunderstorms in August and games at odd start times. And we've seen it a lot in the preseason. You rarely see it during the regular season. But if it does happen, it happens in Florida.
Yeah, that's true of everything.
All right, let me ask you two more quick questions. The voice of our friend Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone on the phone with us right now. Should Tony Romo be worried about his job as great as Dak Prescott has looked?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Listen, it's a long way between now and whenever Romo gets back, mm-hmm. but he is old, and he is expensive. And those are two and three really bad things to be.
And he does not run well.
He does not run well, and he is brittle.
Plus, you didn't mention his age.
I think he's old.
Right, okay.
And I say this knowing that he is younger than me, but he is old.
Yes.
And he is expensive.
Cowboy fans have not had a lot to get excited about in recent years, but Dak may be it. All right, last question, Andrew, because we're almost out of time, and that is, how bad was the pasting that the Eagles put on the Steelers yesterday? Put it in context for me.
It was the worst in 27 years.
How about that?
Steelers. They lost a game by 30 in 97 to the Cowboys, but to find a 31-point loss, you have to go back 27 years. We all knew this was the biggest test for Carson Wentz and the Eagles, and if you had told me on Monday morning that they passed the test and they won, I think everyone would have gone, okay, wow, that's good. Good for them. I guess they're for real. But they pants the Steelers. That was
domination.
Stunning. Absolutely. Stunning.
Okay.
I don't know how to say it.
I'm good with that.
It's very dramatic.
It's the most stunning outcome of the season so far. There have been 47 games played. It has to be the most shocking. And by the way, Allie, can I just say, sure. I love Patriot fans.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick here. Mm-hmm. The Patriots didn't play yesterday. We know that. They're 3-0. We know that.
Right.
I tweeted in the morning that only four quarterbacks. The assumption was, quarterbacks that have started every game,
right.
Only four quarterbacks have not turned the ball over this year. Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, and Carson Palmer.
People lost it over
Brissett. Can I tell you? No.
Oh.
They tweeted me, mm-hmm. Tom Brady.
Oh.
Wow. Hey, technically they're right.
Still getting them this morning. Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Oh.
Tom Brady.
Pats fans are the best.
I think that's what we're saying.
I think that's what he's saying.
He's saying they're the worst.
I think you're saying they're the best.
Yeah.
Andrew, will tonight be, besides the fact that it's two not very good teams, but being on opposite the presidential debate tonight, will tonight be the lowest Monday Night Football ratings of all time?
Of course, I endorse you. You should watch Monday Night Football.
Agreed.
Sure. Yeah.
I support this message. I would be surprised if debate didn't trounce it.
Yeah.
However, it is the 10th anniversary of the Katrina game. There's the back from Katrina game, the Steve Gleason game.
Right.
So the game for the people in New Orleans is highly significant. Mm-hmm. If you do turn it on, which again I recommend, it's an emotional game for the Saints, and there's going to be all kinds of ceremony and pomp and circumstance. So it's a game worth watching, and I will have it on one of the TVs in my living room.
Fantastic. He is the host of Up to the Minute on the NFL Network, Monday through Fridays at 1, and of course every Sunday, DirecTV's Red Zone channel. We wouldn't know what to do without it. The great Andrew Siciliano on Kirk. Thank you, sir.
See you guys.
Appreciate it. All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. If you would like to, I don't know, pitch something that maybe we're not talking about. Stories that we're not talking about, or topics, or your favorite teams that didn't get mentioned, whatever you have. TV shows, questions, comments, 1-800-520-1067. You will tell us what to talk about next.
1-800-520-1067. What you talking about? It's time for Kevin Bean's What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we can be down. 1-800-520-1067.
right. Not that there's a spare 1 minute to watch another TV show, but let's see what Mitch is calling about. He's in Pasadena on line six to get us started on a Monday edition of Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Hey, Mitch, what's good? Hello?
Good morning.
Hi there. Hey, what's up?
Howdy. That show, Finding Prince Charming on Logo, is just like The Bachelor and Bachelorette, but with all of the same drama, just all boys.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What's different or interesting about it, though? Because unless they're as crazy and as emotionally damaged as the ladies that we see on The Bachelor, the Bachelorette, then I'm not interested.
Maybe LaQuisha might be.
Okay.
Wow.
We'll run it by her.
We will. Because we talk to her all the time. Thank you. Let's try Justin Seal Beach. He's line seven. By the way, wasn't the, Allie, you know, you're the TV queen here. Wasn't there some controversy about that show now that he brings up what it is about the, it turns out that the Bachelor in this is a former porn star, right?
Oh, no. I don't know. That sounds good to me.
Okay. All right, Justin, what's going on, man? What's good?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Just wanted to throw it out there that Nirvana's Nevermind turned 25 years this Saturday.
Yeah, sure.
That
did.
Is insane.
25 years ago Saturday, that album was released. And I was doing some reminiscing over the weekend, and I still remember the first time I ever heard the song Smells Like Teen Spirit. You know, there are some moments that just stick with you. And it was when I was driving down with my wife, my new bride at the time. We had just gotten married. We were driving down to see Boingo down at Irvine. And Jed the Fish played Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. And I thought it was the greatest song I'd ever heard in my life the first time I heard it. And I might not have been wrong.
All right.
Thought somebody else might jump in with their story.
Well, I mean, I don't really have a story, but I do think it's the best song that's been written while I've been alive.
I do know that the guy that was on the cover as a baby recreated the album in the pool. Doing the same thing, had a photographer do the picture.
Right.
But wore swim trunks.
What?
Let's see it.
What's up with that?
Let's see the dong.
All right. Thank you for
the new feature.
Let's see that dong is our new feature?
Yes, it is.
Let's go to line one, please. This is going to be Northridge. Let's say hi to our man, Scott. He's calling with some good news.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Welcome to Let's See That Dong.
How about those Los Angeles Dodgers, huh?
How about those Los Angeles Dodgers?
Amen.
Am I right, Beer Mug?
Yeah!
Beer Mug is... We do need to check in with Beer Mug's mom, by the way, because I know that we talked to her several times this year where she told us there was no possibility that the Dodgers would be ahead of the Giants at the end of the season. You guys remember that?
Yep.
No chance.
Yep. Stick a fork in him, she said, as she always does.
That's right. Hey, look, everything's going right for these guys right now. They're getting help from places they didn't expect it, and they look great, and they got great attitude and great chemistry, and they're feeling good, and it's a wonderful way to go into the playoffs.
Yeah, and how about that? Yesterday afternoon, Corey Seager hitting a home run with two out in the bottom of the ninth, and then a guy comes up who's never hit a home run with the Dodgers. It's a walk-off.
Yeah. Yep.
Crazy.
Unbelievable. I mean, it was a storybook ending, and how happy did that make you for Vin Scully calling his final game at Dodger Stadium?
Tears of joy. There's no other way to explain it.
I agree.
We're the wind beneath his wings. He said
That's
it.
What I've heard. Yeah. I have heard that, actually. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. We got time for another one. Kevin, who do you like? Who have we not gotten to that you want to talk
let's
to?
Let's go to Javier in Huntington Park. Hi.
What's up, party people?
What's good?
Yeah, a couple months ago, you guys did a segment about people being wrongfully arrested, and Bean brought up that he was arrested, but he didn't want to talk about it. He kind of blew off the subject, so I want to know why Bean was arrested.
It was private. It was private.
It was about your privates? What?
I was playing Let's See That Dong, and,
with somebody that didn't want to play it?
Exactly. As is so often the case, and then I says to her, I says, what are you, uptight?
106.7.
Just Monday, man.
K-Rock.
It's just Monday.
It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:53.
The first day of the week.
Yeah, it is. Uh-huh.
Hey, the lady, for once, is making a lot of goddamn sense right now.
I hope you two just mutual suicide pact. That's the only solution, really.
Hey, there's a new product. A product.
Don't wave
sit
at me.
Sit down.
Sit down.
There's a product that is new to me anyway. You guys may have been familiar
with it. Soap?
Nope.
Oh. This is a product that we're going to tell you about right after the top of the hour that I think could be the Christmas gift of 2016. It's amazing. So stand by for that. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Is it a new sleeve of some kind?
It is not.
Nope. It is nothing that is made for truckers. No.
Well, then I'm not interested. It's Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office on a Monday. That's what we do. And The Magnificent Seven debuted with $35 million this weekend, making it number one. Storks debuted at number two with $21.8 million.
All right, you have to let the rest of those the class in on the joke. What's
nothing.
Going on?
I'm just, Allie's digging for gold over here. I just didn't know what's going on.
And my nose is running.
Running?
So I'm sticking it.
Is it running up in your brain? Because you have your hand stuffed up your nose hole.
Oh, I guess.
Allie's going straight Jim Harbaugh.
Jeez.
It's with the tissue.
You're like third knuckle in. And I can't not see it because it's right in my face.
I am not.
Oh, you are drilling for gold or oil or whatever you drill for.
I just have a very runny nose and I'm really crampy.
Okay.
All right.
Sully was third, Bridget Jones's Baby was fourth, and Snowden came in at number five. Then Blair Witch, Don't Breathe, Suicide Squad, When the Bow Breaks, and Kubo and the Two Strings, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office. Sad movie news, Bill Nunn, one of my favorite character actors, has passed away. You may know him from a bunch of stuff. Maybe as Radio Raheem in the Spike Lee movie, Do the Right Thing. As well as the Da-Da-Da Man in New Jack City. Or maybe known as Robbie Robertson from the Spider-Man trilogy. He's a very talented actor. Passed away at the age of 62. Lost a battle with cancer over the weekend. So that was sad news, but we pay tribute to him. And this is interesting because we talked about this when it was first posed. You remember President Gabriel Carteris from the Screen Actors Guild and SAG-AFTRA?
Mm-hmm.
The One Union, as it's now known. She came out and was very public about the fact that she wanted to lobby for legislation that would require entertainment casting websites such as IMDb.com to remove an actor's age if requested by that actor, to avoid age discrimination in casting. A lot of actresses in particular, Gabrielle mentioned, we're having a problem in the industry because they may look a certain age, but once they find out their actual age, then immediately they get discounted and dismissed for roles of a certain age.
Completely unfairly, by the way.
Completely unfairly, but a reality in the industry nonetheless. And so she said that a publication like IMDb, if they're allowed to publish ages, could cause potential career damage, and it must be addressed. Well, what do you know? California Governor Jerry Brown has signed a bill requiring entertainment casting sites like IMDb.com to remove an actor's age if requested by the actor.
What about the Ralph Garman birthdays? What about that?
There's apparently not under this bill. There will be no change under this particular bill.
All right.
But we talked about that legislation, and now it has come to pass. Jerry Brown, getting S done. Finally, he's addressing the important things in the state of California, like how old Gabriel Carteris is on IMDb.
I am of two minds in this story. I'm having trouble knowing how I feel because, on the one hand, I don't think it's fair to actresses to be discriminated against if they look a certain age. But on the other hand, I'm not.
But you need to know what age they are before you drop your pants, right,
no,
Bean?
No, not at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm misunderstood.
I'm nervous about the government telling us what factual information we can and can't put on the internet.
Because the man's got his foot on your
neck.
Well,
I mean, that is a concern, right?
Easy, Neo. Take the blue pill.
But right. In this case, that's what's happening.
No, it's not.
You don't want to see that spreading to other areas.
It's not spreading. It's specific. It's one thing and one type of website.
Now it's one thing.
It's not Wikipedia or anything else. It's only industry casting sites.
But now there's a precedent for the government saying, hey, you have factual information. You can't put it up on the internet. I'm a little just concerned about where that might head.
Sit down. Asperger fact nerd. Just relax. No one needs to know anybody's age. It's not going to be the downfall of civilization as we know it.
Well, you say that.
Just drink some chocolate milk and lay back.
Just wanted to put it out there that I don't think it's as clear cut.
Well, put it back.
Okay.
You put it out there, put it back where you got it.
I don't think it's possible now.
No, probably true. I had other things to say, but I'm just going to move on.
We have time.
No, we'll save it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Nev Schulman. Catfish host, creator of that program and the feature film that begat it, 32 years old today. Serena Williams turns 35. Jim Caviezel! You know him as Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, but he's also in Persons of Interest. And Jesus was also a person of interest, of great interest, I believe. 48 years old today. Jeannie Buss, co-owner and president of the Los Angeles Lakers, is 55 years old today. And Olivia Newton-John!
If you ever know that you're my hero,
you're my hero,
and everything I would like to be.
You know what? It's nice to know at a certain age you can just play your old karaoke tapes and everyone thinks it's awesome.
How dare you,
that
Ralph?
That was Ralph, Garvin. Everybody.
If
Ralph
you live
Garvin.
Long enough, you can just do whatever you want and everybody applauds.
That was his
That's
tribute to the Dodger
the
fan.
Fact.
He said, I needed you more than you needed me. That was a beautiful,
right.
touching
Stop
moment.
Stop it there and leave.
That
leave,
was beautiful.
Leave,
it was.
Leave the wax cylinder you recorded for your wife at home. That's all we're saying.
Wow.
Just make the speech and move on.
Wow.
No, it's true. If once you
it's
get to a
true.
Certain age,
nope.
you can get away with anything.
Oh, that's true.
Because people just put up with all your BS.
I agree
but
with
that
you.
That was a nice moment, and he can actually see.
Look at Kevin and Bean. They've been on the air for so long, people are starting to respect them. That's what I'm talking
well, that's
about.
On them.
If
that's
you live, if you live long enough, you can just get away with
that's
anything.
That's on them.
Look, Ralph. Did you see the video of at Dodger Stadium yesterday? There were people weeping. There were people hugging their family members and weeping as they saluted Vin Scully as that recording was playing. It was a beautiful moment.
People are upset that Angelina and Brad split up too, man. It takes all kinds. Takes all kinds.
Why do you hate?
Why do you hate?
You know,
who hurt you?
I watched Pitch the other night, the baseball movie, uh-huh. TV series Pitch. I loved it. And I realized why it's great and why baseball is the perfect entertainment sport.
Okay.
Because movies and TV shows about baseball, just they take the 30 seconds of baseball that's interesting and they put it all together in one interesting story for you, and then you can watch it. That's why it's great.
Did I ever say that you're my hero?
He was singing that to Dodger fans.
No,
to Dodger
to his
fans.
Recorded for
that
his
was
wife.
Touching.
It was recycled. It was a recycled
it was
tribute.
Repurposed.
It was a recycled tribute
but
that he
was
took
say-
from his wife. His wife's like, oh, thanks a lot. Now it's a lot more special to me, I guess, now that you're playing it over the intercom.
Did he hand her divorce papers immediately
he
after?
He did. Now they're done.
No longer.
And their wax
works.
Figures have been separated at
Madame
Tussauds.
Every single one of you is going straight
Ralph,
to hell.
Ralph, I hope you die before Vince Scully does. How about that?
I really know that you're my hero.
I'm not in it with you on this one, Ralph.
I don't care.
Okay.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm saying A, he's littering. B, no left turn signal, no right
no.
turn signal when he changes lane.
It's a car
it's
chase.
It's not safe.
You don't, it's yeah. a car chase.
He doesn't
you
have his hands at 10 and 2 most of the time.
He didn't have either hands on when he was lighting a cigarette.
Lit a cigarette?
Come on.
He doesn't seem stressed. I'll no. give him that.
This is a Toyota Camry that is about where now?
He was on near Pomona
60,
on the East 10.
Now he's on the 10. But there's no traffic. What's happening?
I don't know.
What is happening?
It's insane.
How do you plan out your car chase with no traffic?
I don't know that he planned out a car chase. Like
well,
he just sat around waited for the police to catch up.
Just saying. It's good work. So.
Yeah. All right. We'll keep our eye on that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 937.
I remind you again, it's just Monday. It's the first day of the week.
Right. I got you.
You know,
why
you
would
don't
you say that, Ralph? Why are you bringing
it's
that up?
It's just one day.
I hear
why
you.
Why are
you saying
it's
that?
It's the first day.
Right. I got to get me a Toyota Camry. I know that. That thing really handles, doesn't it? In this car chase? That's a comfortable ride right there.
Yeah, it's doing good.
He's been on the road so long now. Why haven't they started putting some police cars in front of him, in the lanes in front of him, to
well,
start slowing him down,
do
boxing him
freeway?
In? Yeah, there's other traffic.
You don't box someone in on the freeway.
Come on, Bean.
I'm
get
just
with
saying.
It.
Have you never driven like... before on a major thoroughfare? Do you not know how the world works?
Yes, but I'm saying it seems like it would be useful if you want to bring an end to this car chase, and it wouldn't have to be a dangerous thing to have some police cars in the lanes in front of him and just start gradually slowing him down. Why can't you do that?
Because of all the cars behind him?
Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome,
it's not that,
Ralph.
It's not that difficult. They should be at I should be
all
right.
Why aren't
you're
they
right,
laying down
because no
strips?
One's ever thought of this before.
Bean
should
be
you're
running
the first
it.
Guy to think about a speed, high-speed chase and how to slow it down.
I'm just saying. What they're doing now is just wasting time. All right, it's 9:38. It is Monday morning. As Ralph points out, it's time for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
It's just the first day of the week. That's all I'm telling you.
All good.
Not even close to being
all
good.
It's all good, Ralph.
Nope. not all good.
It's all good.
You see how white people do?
Right.
Your Eagles won. You had a good day yesterday.
I did.
It's all good.
And then
today.
Monday came.
Oh, yeah.
And then this day. And then this day happened. The beginning of five of them in a row. It's Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Magnificent Seven. Magnificent indeed, right? With the money it made at the box office.
Here we go.
$35 million made it number one. Storks delivered an impressive debut at number two with $21.8 million. Then Sully didn't sully its reputation by showing up at number three with $13.8 million. Bridget Jones's Baby cried its way to number four.
Are you happy with that one?
$4.5 million. And then Snowden, no secret that people like that film. $4.1 million made it number five.
Stop doing what you're doing.
The Blair Witch scared up $3.9 million, good enough to make it number six. Don't Breathe got some fresh air at number seven with $3.8 million.
File.
The Suicide Squad still alive in the top 10 with $3.1 million. Then When the Bow Breaks didn't break the bank, but it did come in at number nine with $2.5 million.
File.
And then Kubo and the Two Strings. Eight more strings. It'd be in 10th place like it is now with $1.1 million.
File.
At the top 10 box office. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. It's Monday morning.
You're dead to me.
Hey, guys.
What?
You know that you're doing the bad morning radio made me think of this. You know that Benny the Joke Man? Remember I brought you in?
Yeah, Benny the Joke Man. I love Benny the Joke
love
Man.
Him.
Bernie Sanders sure would be a good president of Cuba. That kind of comedy.
Boom!
Favorite, right? I found out over the weekend he is on a morning show in New Orleans, Louisiana.
All right.
He does the news
yes.
on a morning show in New Orleans, Louisiana. For
you
real,
should be on that show in the morning with him.
Any
you
show
two
of this
would
show.
Be the best together.
Benny and Bean.
Benny and Bean.
So Benny the Joke Man isn't just writing bad jokes. He's also delivering them on the radio. So I will have to tune in and let you guys know how that goes.
Or work with him and see how it goes.
Well, I couldn't do both. I couldn't be on that
look,
show and this
you
show.
You have to make important, difficult choices in life. But look.
Sometimes you have to commit.
If you get a chance to work with Benny, you got to take it, right?
You can't pass that
out. You can't pass up Benny.
So you'd be willing to let me go just so
for
I could...
For the benefit of mankind, yes.
Ralph's a giver.
Right.
Very sweet of you.
Just like that lady Mariana Trench we talked about earlier today.
Right? She is very charitable.
The Backstreet Boys are back.
All right.
That was an alley-oop. They are headed to Sin City. They're going to get a residency at the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, beginning March 1st. The show will be called Backstreet Boys Larger Than Life. Mm. And it will feature Nick Carter, Howie Duro, Brian Luttrell, AJ McLean, and wait for it, that's right, Kevin Richardson.
Wow, all five of them.
All of them are back together.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal to get Kevin.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Kevin has always been the one to drag his feet.
Yeah.
But now he's going to be there. Tickets go on sale October 1st, but you have to have an American Express card. No, but if you have an American Express card, you can score your tickets today at 10 a.m. Pacific time. That's just a mere 18 minutes from now.
Today?
Today.
You thinking about it, Allie?
A little bit.
Allie, come on. You and the Backstreet Boys?
I mean, listen.
She's there opening night.
Did right. I go to New Kids on the Block with Backstreet Boys? Yes, I did. Did I think New Kids was a lot better? Yeah. I'm just going to say it. I sure did. Yeah. But
it's a hot take.
It's happening.
But I definitely would travel to Las Vegas to see that. Because I have no life.
And Weezer fans are excited to know.
Tell me.
That the first six Weezer albums are going to be reissued on vinyl.
Okay.
How happy are hipsters today to get that news? Weezer on vinyl?
It's a big hipster day.
Oh, just put on your beanie and get out your mustache wax and just grill up some artesian turnips, whatever it is the F it is you're eating today, you effers in Silver Lake, you bastards.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
First six albums. Blue Album, Pinkerton, Green Album, Maladroit, Make Believe, Red Album, all available on vinyl. So that's good news. October 28th. Today's celebrity birthdays. Nev Schulman, Catfish host and creator, 32 years old today. Serena Williams turns 35. Actor Jim Caviezel is 48 years old. L.A. Lakers co-owner and president Jeannie Buss turns 55 years old today. An actress, singer, icon, legend, muse, keeper of the doorway to Xanadu, Sandy and Greased Lightning.
Do I have to tell you it's Olivia Newton-John?
No, you don't, Casey Kasem. Because we all know, we all celebrate her birth today, 68 years ago. Olivia Newton-John, hit it, Steve! Hopelessly devoted to you. Oh, didn't you want to be on that porch with her when she sang that?
I wanted to be the porch.
All right. But, I mean,
see,
we were all having
we were
fun.
All a good time.
How come you just have to ruin stuff?
Just reminding you, it's only Monday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the
show. Stop doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home this afternoon, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Yeah!
How dare you! Also, the debates are tonight, so we've got a new Trump date for you. Milo Ventimiglia is on the program tomorrow from This Is Us. And Steve Aoki joins us in studio with his Netflix documentary, I'll Sleep When I'm Dead. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.